الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمد، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, for those who are even slightly have some sort of affiliation or understanding with the Arabic language, you would have discerned from the verse of the Quran that I recited in the khutbah, and would have been wondering whether the time frame is right. Most of us know that the Hujjaj have returned. Many, many masajid and areas, we find this weekend, I saw a few announcements that programs are being held for the returning Hujjaj. So obviously, one would wonder what's the relevance of the verse of the Quran when Hajj is already completed. Where Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, that there is a set time in the year for Hajj. However, when Allah Ta'ala speaks of Hajj, one very, very important lesson we learn from this verse: فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. In layman's terms, understand it like this: Allah Ta'ala technically is addressing the Hajis, but the tone of the verse and the subject matter, if one has to observe it closely and understand, then not only the Haji is being addressed, every ummati of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being addressed. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ, the one who has tied the ihram of Hajj. We mentioned this previously, what is the symbolic lesson behind tying the ihram? The symbolic lesson behind tying the ihram is that that is not just two ordinary pieces of cloth. That is two pieces of cloth that are reminding you about your kafan. That every one of us, in reality, we are on a journey, whether it is the journey of Hajj or the journey of life. We are on a journey. And the one thing everybody understands about a journey is that it is temporary. The goal is the destination. The goal is not the journey itself. The journey itself is a necessity. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he described this dunya with akhirat, that is the example he gave. مَدْ دُنْيَا مَعَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبْ إِسْتَدَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَ ثُمَّ رَاحَ فَتَرَكَ. He said, my example in this world is a musafir, a traveler. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, a different matter. We want to build one shop and then one business and then expand that business and this investment, that investment, plan this holiday and this occasion, and we are carrying on as if we are here to stay. Constantly Allah reminds us, pick your phone up every morning, time of Fajr, janaza announcement, janaza announcement, janaza announcement. The mindset is, listen, this is someone else's janaza, not my janaza. No problem. It's a different matter that majority of us, Allah protect us and forgive us, are in denial. The reality is we are all on a journey. I am not saying it. Sadiqul Masduq, Mubashir Nadir, Da'i Ilallah, Sirajan Munir, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Tajdar Madina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ana fi dunya illa karakib. Every one of you is a musafir. Istazalla tahta shajara thumma raha fatarakaha. You paused for a little while underneath the shade of the tree and then you left it. So whether you are going for Hajj, Allah addresses you, or whether you are not actually on the journey of Hajj. This verse is general if you look inside, if you study it properly. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. You have tied the ihram. There are those amongst you that made Hajj farz upon themselves, they tied the ihram. So what is the command of Allah? What it should have been for those who understand Arabic. فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِّ. فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِّ. Allah doesn't say that. If it was only the Hajis that were being addressed, and it was only that ihram that was being spoken about, then technically those who understand Arabic, this verse should have been فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِّ. What does Allah actually say? لَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Allah warns you. Allah cautions you. Allah addresses you directly and says, listen, you tied this ihram. You tied this ihram. For this short journey that you are on, three things you must never do. I am prohibiting you from three things. What is Allah prohibiting us from? Rafath, Fusuq, Jidal. Occasion of Jumu'ah, impossible to go into the details. We are going to just glean the surface of one or two of these injunctions. The point every one of us needs to understand is that the mode of expression of this verse is that Allah is not only addressing the muhrim or the one who has tied ihram. Allah is addressing every one of us who is on this temporary journey of life. Whether it's the journey of Hajj or any other journey, every one of us is musafir. And Allah says, in this journey, temporarily in ihram, be very careful, but there is an ihram that you have tied that you will open only at the time of maut. Right up till maut, these three things are prohibited. What are the three things? La rafath. First thing Allah commands us about. Haji or not haji, you have returned from Hajj, this ihram you don't open. You haven't been for Hajj, this ihram you have already supposed to have tied. What is it? La rafath. Control this tongue. Literal translation, speech of sexual innuendo. Like we say in Urdu, behuda baat. Unnecessary speech, hurtful speech. Today, unfortunately, many of us, you ask the person what is dindari, what is taqwa, what is piety, what is deen, what is his understanding? Tahajjud guzar, shabedar, rozedar, a man who fasts, man who makes tahajjud, etc. This is our understanding of taqwa and piety. But when you look in Quran and Hadith, another understanding comes. Tahajjud in its place, roza in its place, tilawat of Quran in its place, ibadat in its place. But when my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question, Ayyul Muslim Afdal? Ayyul Muslim Afdal? Ya Rasulullah, contextualize this, turn the clock front. 14 centuries later, imagine Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is amongst us and someone has to put this question to him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me from the 1 or 1.5 billion followers, claimers of Iman, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, tell me amongst that 1.5 billion, who is the best? Afdal. What is the pinnacle? What is the height? Who is the best Muslim? Your and my understanding, the one who makes tahajjud every night, the one who mashallah is in sunnat libas, the one who fasts every day, the one whoever you see, whenever you see him is in the masjid reading Quran, whatever perception we have, you and I are not the one to answer that. We are not qualified. Who is qualified? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he draw our attention to? Allah, I'm digressing. There is one surah in the Quran. The surah, Allahu Akbar. Quran is like Allah is limitless. Like Allah is limitless. And every sifat and quality of Allah is limitless. It's a never-ending ocean. You and I, with our puny limited intellect, can never do justice to describing Allah or even speaking about Allah. Just as Allah is limitless, every sifat and quality of Allah is limitless. Quran is Kalamullah. Quran is Kalamullah. It is Allah's sifat. It is Allah's quality. So every letter of the Quran is a limitless ocean. We can never do justice. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that you and I don't have that munasabat and link and attachment with Quran. There is one surah in the Quran. Ulama refer to it as Arusul Quran. They say this is the bride of the Quran. The bride of the Quran. And this surah begins in an ajeeb way. Astonishing. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman. Literal translation, the benevolent, the kind, the merciful, the compassionate Allah. Ar-Rahman. One tafsir of this, one commentary of this ulama give. They say this is dawah. This is a claim. Allah is saying, I am the most compassionate, I am the most kind, I am the most merciful. And in normal speech, Quran is afsahul kalam, it's the most eloquent of speech. But in normal speech, whenever anyone makes a claim, they say dawah must be followed with dalil. When you make a claim, follow it up with a proof, support your claim, like they say, walk the talk. So the compassionate, the kind, the merciful, Allah, what's the proof? Three things Allah draws our attention to, every aspect, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Everything about you is Allah's ni'mat. Within you, out of you, everything is Allah's ni'mat. But of Allah's ni'mat, of Allah's bounties, when Allah says, Ar-Rahman, Allah draws your attention to three bounties. What are the three? I'm going to touch on one particularly pertinent to what we are talking about. Ar-Rahman, three things Allah mentions. Allama al-Qur'an, the Qur'an is a proof that Allah is merciful and compassionate. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, you, from a drop of dirty fluid, a walking, talking human being, with limitless abilities. Can you even count Allah's favors upon you, your very wujud and existence? Khalaqal insan, the proof of Allah's mercy. And then, the third is actually linked to the second, but highlighted. I am merciful, I am kind, I am compassionate. I'm proving to you my mercy by reminding you of the fact, Allamahul bayan, I gave you the ability to speak and comprehend that speech. My thought processes, which you cannot see, are being converted into electrical impulses. They are traveling at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour to my tongue. The movement of my tongue is not visible to you. Through that movement, what is happening? Sound waves are being produced. If it were not for Allah's wind, how did the wind come into existence? The movement of the earth, 1,000 kilometers an hour, the speed spinning on its axis, moving outwards, 108,000 kilometers per hour. There is a third movement. With that spinning ball, it is whirring, turning side to side, 23.5 degrees to the right, 23.5 degrees to the left. This third movement of the earth causes the wind and the seasons to come into existence. Imagine how many madahir, how many displays, how many manifestations of Allah's qudrat and power have to occur just for what I have just mentioned this far to occur. I am speaking, sound waves are being produced. Allah produced wind. That wind is carrying the sound waves. If it were not for the wind, I can talk from now till Qiyamah, you'll hear nothing. That sound waves are being carried. In each of your ears, there are 100,000 receptors for sound. Call it 100,000 telephones. At the back of the ear are three bones, hammer, stirrup, anvil. Certain size, certain angle with each other. A newborn child, 60-year-old man, these three bones are there in a newborn child. As that child grows, head, hands, feet, everything grows. These three bones don't grow. Newborn child, 60-year-old man, they are same size, same angle. Why? They have to be like that to carry out their function. What is their function? They amplify the sound waves. Behind that, there is a pool of liquid. What it is called? The inner ear or the cochlea. In it, there is something that looks like a harp, a musical instrument. It has 6,000 different strings. Each string vibrates to a different frequency of sound, enabling this human being to hear a variation of 6,000 different frequencies of sound. Sound waves strike this. It starts vibrating. 18,000 nerve cells amplify the vibration. It is converted into electrical impulses, travels to your brain at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour, and you are able to understand what I am saying. Ar-Rahman, the benevolent, the kind, the compassionate, the merciful Allah. Allamahul Bayan, gave the ability to speak and comprehend that speech. This is such a ni'mat, such a bounty. This tongue which Allah has given you, on the one hand, this is your means to achieve the highest jannat possible. And on the other hand, kaan khol kar sun lena. This is the greatest enemy that you possess, this tongue. I am not saying it. Look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at what Quran warns us. 89 times in the Quran, Allah addresses believers. Quran, many modes of address. More than 6,000 verses. Sometimes Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ahlal kitab, Ya ayyuhal ladhina hadu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina kafaru. Allah addresses the kuffar. Allah addresses the yahood. Allah addresses the nasara. Allah addresses humanity. 89 places, there is a special mode of address where you and I are addressed directly by my Allah. Where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. From amongst these 89, there is only one place where Quran moves away from its normal mode of address. Those who have affinity and link and attachment with the Quran, Allah changes the mode of expression for you and I to conscientize ourselves. There's something very, very important being said here. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what does it mean? People of iman, believers, whether it's Musa, Muhammad, Imran, or whether it is Khadija, Maryam, and Zainab. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, all I address, 89 places, but one place in Surah Hujurat. What does Allah do? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawm, asa an yakunu khayran minhum, wala nisa'un min nisa', asa an yakunna khayran minhun. This is the only place in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, and then Allah addresses the men with the same command, women with the same command. Men and women are already contained according to the rules of grammar. Why this special mention? so that you and I conscientize ourselves, what is Allah warning about us about here? What is Allah specifically speaking about here? O people of Iman, O men of Iman, do not mock anyone. Do not hurt anyone with your speech. And then, men and women already covered. Allah brings it again. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٌ عَسَىٰ أَيَّكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ O believing men, O believing women, I am commanding you, guard this tongue. Guard this tongue. Muaz bin Jabal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is on a journey. What a beautiful hadith, lengthy hadith. I'm not going into the details. One part, the end of the hadith. How does he start? Dullani ala amalin yudkhilunil jannah wa yubaidni minan nar. He says, Ya Rasulullah, show me something that will enter me into Jannah and distance me from Jahannam. In other words, kamil kamyabi, complete success. فَمَنْ زُخْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ Allah says, the one who is saved from Jahannam and enters Jannah, he has succeeded. So Muaz bin Jabal is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me the recipe to total success. And who is Muaz? Not an ordinary sahabi. Not an ordinary sahabi. This is the only sahabi who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed directly and said, Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuk. O Muaz, I love you. O Muaz, I love you. This is that sahabi. Not an ordinary sahabi. He says, Ya Rasulullah, show me something. يُدْخِلُنِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَعِدْنِي مِنَ النَّارِ Will enter me into Jannah. Save me from Jahannam. Lengthy hadith. All the tenets of deen are mentioned right at the end. Right at the end. Why? Because this may be too much for you to understand. Too many things. Cluttered. So, it's possible that you could miss out. Sometimes when many things are mentioned, all are necessary. We are not diminishing or belittling the importance of any of them. But the compassionate teacher, and more compassionate than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more kind than him, there was no one. He didn't want his ummah to miss the point. In hearing so many things, they might miss the point. So right at the end, he says to Muaz, O Muaz, awala ukhbiruka bimilaki hadhal amr. Awala ukhbiruka bimilaki hadhal amr. More than 6,000 verses in the Quran. More than 1,000,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have such a comprehensive shariat. May all our lives be sacrificed on our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to Muaz bin Jabal, Muaz, should I not show you the summary of the whole of shariat? Milaki hadhal amr. The nature, the essence of the whole of Shariat, the whole of Quran, the whole of Hadith. My Nabi condensed it into one thing. In other words, don't forget this. This ihram, never forget this. Never underestimate the importance of this. Awala ukhbiruka bimilaki hadhal amr. Muaz, should I not show you the essence, the jan, the nichor, the summary of the whole of Shariat? He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me what it is. Who is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressing? He's not addressing an ordinary person. He said, tomorrow, on the day of judgment, the flag of the ulama of my ummah will be in the hands of Muaz bin Jabal. So in other words, this is the elite of the elite when it comes to scholastic and academic ability. This is a scholar of note. Sahaba say, in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very few sahaba were allowed to issue fatwa in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them was Muaz bin Jabal. This is the level of his knowledge. Yet, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam answers this question, he illustrates the answer like you would illustrate it for a little child. He's addressing one of the most educated, intelligent people of the ummah. The one who will lead the scholars of the Ummah tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. And what does he do? He demonstrates it to him like how you would speak to a little child. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes his tongue out of his mouth, grabs hold of the tongue with his Mubarak fingers and says, Kuffa alayka hadha, Kuffa alayka hadha, Muaz, guard this tongue, guard this tongue, this is your means for the highest Jannat. And this is also that snake and that serpent and that scorpion that will destroy all your tabligh and all your hajj and all your umrah and all your tahajjud and all your nawafil. It is the Maidan of Uhud. Uhud. Sahabi becomes shaheed. Can we imagine the fazilat? Can we imagine the virtue? Not just any shaheed. His mother is on the battlefield of Uhud. After the battle, she lifts her son's kurta up. Wa batnuhu marbutatun bi sakhratin min al-ju'. It's mentioned in the riwayat. She finds that her son was slain in the path of Allah, fighting for Allah's deen, gives his life, not in just any circumstances. He had a stone tied to his stomach as a result of excessive hunger. In that condition, he gives his life in the path of Allah. Allahu Akbar. When the mother sees the condition her son gave his life in, Massat an wajihi turab, she removes the dust from his face. Picture this, laden in dust, stone tied to his stomach, blood spilt in the path of Allah. What fazilat, what virtue. What does the mother say? Haniyan laka ya bunayya al jannah. Haniyan laka ya bunayya al jannah. She says, Mubarak to you, my son. You are a jannati. My Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears this. And what is his reaction? What is his reaction? Kaan khol kar sun lena. MashaAllah, I spent 1 year in tabligh. I spent 4 months in tabligh. MashaAllah, I give my 2.5 hours. I give my 8 hours. MashaAllah, every gush I am there. Every 3 days I am there. I made hajj. I made umrah. I did this. I did that. Weigh that in the context of this incident. Haniyan laka ya bunayya al-jannah. Mubarak to you, my son. You are a jannati. Allahu Akbar. My Nabi cautions her. Cautions the Sahaba that are present. Don't be too hasty. Perhaps he said something. Another hadith. Inna al-abda la yatakallamu bil-kalima. My Nabi said, a person sometimes will say something. More often than not, break someone's heart, hurt someone's feeling, offend someone. La yaskar. قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٌ لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٌ غِيبَتْ slander, buhtan, false accusation, suspicion, hurting the feelings of others. The riwayat of Shay alayhi salam, Abu Nu'aym in his Hilya mentions this several thousand years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could come into existence. Like this throughout the ages, Allah informed humanity of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sifat and attributes of our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This occasion, Shaya stands up. Ya sama isma'i, ya ard ansiti, inna Allah yurid an yudabbira amran wa yaqdi sha'nan, yuridu an yunaffidhahu wa yurid an yuhawwil al-rifa ila al-ajam wal والأنهار في الصحراء والنعمة في الفقراء ويريد أن يبعث نبيا من الأميين. Lengthy hadith. I'm already running out of time. Such qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are enumerated there. أسدده لكل أمر جميل وأهب له كل خلق كريم أجعل السكينة لباسه والبر شعاره والحكمة منطقه والعدل شريعته والعفو والمعروف خلقه أهدي به بعد الضلالة أعلم به بعد الجهالة أكثر به بعد القلة It goes on, virtue upon virtue upon virtue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his qualities, his piety, his taqwa, his speech, his maqam, his status, the changes Allah will bring when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. But right in the beginning, what is highlighted? لَيْسَ بِفَضٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ شَايَا. I am going to send a Nabi who in his entire life this will stand out, neither in his speech, neither in his speech or in his mannerism will he be harsh. لَا يَقُولُ الْخِنَا. In his entire life he will never utter a single word that will break the heart of anyone. Aashiq Rasool kehna, main Aashiq Rasool, I am the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is very easy. Very easy. Sahaba understood. Same Maidan of Uhud. Same Maidan of Uhud. Same battle of Uhud. At the beginning, another incident. This is for us to understand, contextualize the importance of this. Amongst the galaxy of Sahaba, it is accepted. VIP among Sahaba, the cream, creme de la creme of Sahaba, are 313 Badri Sahaba. Badri Sahaba. Jibreel is informed when he is asked, mafhum of the riwayat, O my Nabi, who are the most superior amongst your Sahaba? He said, the Sahaba of Badr. Jibreel says, the Malaika that came down in Badr, they are the most superior amongst the Malaika also. Bukhari Sharif riwayat, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِتَّلَى عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah looked at the Sahaba who took part in Badr, and Allah said, from now till you die, do whatever you want to do. Jannat is wajib for you. Amongst the 313, there is another even more select group of about 210 or 212 who from Badr right till the end took part in every expedition. Amongst them is one Sahabi, more famously known as Simak bin Kharshana. Or more famously known as Abu Dujana. His actual name was Simak bin Kharshana radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Dujana, from Badr till the end, virtue upon virtue. At the time of Uhud, my Nabi says, who will fight in Uhud with my sword? Everyone stands up, wanting the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, adds one more thing to that. Who will fight with my sword and fulfill its haqq? All sit down besides three. Abu Dujana, Zubair bin Awam, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhuma. My Nabi doesn't give the sword to Umar, not to Zubair bin Awam, gives it to Abu Dujana. أنا الذي آهدني خليلي ونحن في الصف لدى النخيل أَلَّا أَقُومَ الدَّهْرَ فِي الْكَيُولِ وَأَذْرِبُ بِسَيْفِ اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Abu Dujana raises the sword, recites these couplets. Zubair bin Awam says, I felt the hurt. Why was I not given? Why was Abu Dujana given? So he says, I observed him closely. I'm cutting it short, we're running out of time. Abu Dujana cuts through the saf of men. In the back are the women of Quraysh. Like today, we find that in these useless sports and cricket matches, they have young singing girls, mascots, that dance around. This is a practice of kuffar. They used to bring singing girls to encourage the fighters against their enemies. Amongst these girls, they were singing poems to try to encourage the fighters. نَحْنُ بَنَاتُ طَارِقِي نَمْشِي عَلَى النَّمَارِقِي الْمِسْكُ فِي مَفَارِقِي وَالدُّرُّ فِي الْمَخَانِقِي إِن تُقْبِلُوا نُعَانِقِي أَوْ تُدْبِرُوا نُفَارِقِي فِرَاقَ غَيْرُ غَامِقِي. We are the daughters of the stars. We are fluttering our wings like peacocks. We have musk. We have perfume in our heads. Our strands of our hair are cluttered with pearls. If you will go ahead, we will embrace you. If you will run away, we will turn our backs from you. We will separate from you forever. They were encouraging the kuffar to fight against the Muslims. Amongst them was Hinda. Abu Dujana reaches right till the end, till his sword comes above the head of Hinda, and then he stops. Zubair bin Awam says to him, Abu Dujana, what are you doing? Why didn't you get rid of her? She's the enemy of Islam. What is his response? He said, I took this sword from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I said I will fulfill the haq of it. It is against the haq of the sword of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it should be used to harm innocent, defenseless women and children. I will not soil that sword. Islam does not teach us that. Nevertheless, Abu Dujana, this is just some background. The caliber of the Sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him his sword. The caliber of the Sahabi, Badr, Uhud, Bayatul Ridwan, Hudaybiyah. What is Hudaybiyah? لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is happy with the Sahaba of Hudaybiyah. In Quran till Qiyamah, every expedition he was there. In the latter part of his life, he says one ajeeb thing, and this is the point. Like I said, we've run out of time. Kaan khol kar sun lena. Abu Dujana says, Allahu Akbar, inna arja amali indi. What this means in layman's terms, that tomorrow on the day of judgment, if Allah asks me, Abu Dujana, why should I give you Jannat? What have you brought today? From your whole life, what have you brought today that I should make your maghfirat? If it was you and I, according to our understanding, what should have been his response? Inna arja amali indi. Ya Allah, give me Jannat because of this. What? Badr, Uhud, Bayatul Ridwan. What is it? Allahu Akbar. What a list. What achievements he had. Yet he says, tomorrow in Allah's court, if Allah asks me, Abu Dujana, what have you brought? I will say to Allah, Ma aadaytu ahadam bilisani walaysa fi qalbi ghilli ahad. Oh Allah, from the time I accepted Islam, I never hurt a single person with my tongue. I never hurt a single person with my tongue, nor did I harbor any jealousy or malice towards anyone who was progressing. He says, this arja amali indi. Inna al-abda la yatakallamu bil kalima. My Nabi said, someone will say something. Ma dhanantu an tablugha ma balagh. He will not even give it a second thought, but he hurt someone's heart. He broke someone's heart. He spread some malicious rumor. He caused some hurt, some injustice. Allah will write down his anger for him right up till the day of Qiyamah. On the other hand, sometimes someone will say something. He will join hearts. He will become a source of unity. He will please, put surur in the hearts of people. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he will not give this a second thought, but Allah will write down his ridwan and pleasure for this person right till he enters him into Jannah. This is such, on the one hand, such an opportunity and such a dangerous thing. Uhud, Uhud, stone tied to the stomach, shaheed. Mother is saying, Ya Bunayya, Abshir bil Jannah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, be very careful, don't be hasty. Perhaps he said something. Perhaps he said something. Perhaps he said something. This question, if it is put to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O my Nabi, who is the best Muslim in the entire world? Darbar-e-Risalat, what is the answer? He said, Man salimal muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. He says, it is that ummati of mine who when he opens his mouth, roses will come out, thorns won't come out. When he opens his mouth, he's not hurting someone. He's not slandering someone. He's not making ghibat about someone. He's not hitting out at someone. He's not spreading malicious rumors about someone. He hasn't made himself the judge and jury against others. That person from whose tongue and hands others are saved, Afdalul Muslim, he is the highest and the best Muslim, the person of the pinnacle of Iman. Haji, whether you went or not, this ihram till mort must not open. La rafath, wala fusuq, wala jidala fil hajj. This ihram, this snake, this serpent that Allah naturally has put 32 locks in front of it and then one main gate in front of that. Hold on to silence, my respected brothers. The whole night tahajjud, whole day fasting, life of Nuh alayhi salam, the person who perfects his akhlaq will get a better jannat. And ulama-i-kiram say, husn-e-akhlaq, husne kalam ke baghair namumkin hai. It is impossible to achieve akhlaq and character unless we learn to control this tongue. 90% of husne akhlaq is husne kalam, is the beautification of the speech. My Nabi was highlighted by this. Aashiq Rasool kehna aasan hai. We want the heights of Jannat. Muaz, this is the crux and summary of my deen. Kuffa alayka hadha. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhirah.